Now, many of you are familiar with like the Soybean Bureau, the Corn Association, the Farm Council, different organizations like that. Well, let me introduce you to the Dakota Cannabis Club, a member-driven association that provides professional assistance to the cannabis industry, plus representation at the state capitol. The future of North Dakota's cannabis industry is being set today, with laws and rules under development that will define how the business can operate in the future. DakotaCannabisClub.com. That's DakotaCannabisClub.com.
Well, I was 2 years old when John Lennon died. Well, I was 23 when George said goodbye.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Patrick Stedman, state senator from Colorado.
Yeah, I've lived in Colorado since 1975, and so I think I'm a pretty good judge of what the culture here has been like and what it is now. Prior to the legalization of marijuana, Colorado always sort of stuck out in statistics as being a state with a pretty high or prevalent usage of marijuana amongst the population. I think, you know, on a per capita consumption basis, we were one of the states that was, you know, had more marijuana consumers than other states, which is one of the reasons why people think the legalization measure passed so handily here. But as an observer, I don't know that a lot has changed pre- and post-legalization. I mean, sure, now there are marijuana dispensary businesses, you know, that are along Main Street here in different towns of Colorado. There are grows that are happening. There's an industry that is quickly taking off. But I don't know that our culture has necessarily changed in the state because of this. I don't think societal attitudes have changed a great deal. And by and large, now that we're, you know, a couple of years into our experiment with legalization, I think most people would admit that really it hasn't gone that badly, and that a lot of the things people were afraid of really have not come to pass.
When I was in Fort Collins talking to some people, they mentioned, I believe, that Loveland was either going to vote dispensaries out or not have dispensaries there. I know Grand Junction does not allow dispensaries within their city limits. So when people hear that it's legalized in Colorado, do municipalities have the option to say, you know, we want to be a dry county?
That's correct. There is a local option that was built into the constitutional amendment that legalized marijuana use and possession that lets cities and counties determine whether they want to license businesses to be located in their jurisdictions. Use and possession are legal throughout the state within the limits that are set out in the Constitution. But it's the businesses and licensing the business operations that local communities have a choice over.
How about some of those ancillary service businesses that have maybe stemmed out or butted out from, no pun intended, by the way, I didn't mean to do that, that has kind of shot out from this industry. Are you seeing quite a number of those, or are they exaggerated in the media?
No, actually, the legalization of marijuana has allowed an industry to grow up here in Colorado, and it's, you know, there are both direct and indirect jobs that have been created. There are warehouses all over town here in Denver that have been converted into grow operations. And actually, if you've ever toured one of these, it's very impressive the amount of technology and science that goes into the cultivation and growing of a high-yield marijuana crop. A lot of recycling of energy and water that takes place. There's a lot of jobs for electricians and, you know, carpenters and people that help convert these old warehouses into grows. There's been a lot of jobs created directly in the industry, and then a lot of indirect jobs from ancillary businesses that support the marijuana cultivation operations. And whether that's, you know, HVAC and heating and cooling and lighting and electricity to run these grow houses, or whether it's security firms, or we have some pretty strict regulatory requirements on the businesses for seed to sale tracking of every single marijuana plant. a lot of high-tech databases and computer programs that go into that inventory management system. It's created a lot of jobs. One of the things we did this year in the legislature is we actually passed a law that creates a new class of licensure for marijuana licensed businesses for people just to be transporters and to safely transport product from one grow operation to various retail dispensary outlets, and to allow, you know, growers to have their product sold in more dispensaries than just they're associated with right now. And so having a licensed system of companies that just transport the product in a secure manner is something that the legislature addressed this year. It's just another example of the kind of jobs that have been created by the legalization movement.
Talk to me a little bit about that, I guess the genesis of that. Is that something where the regulation had to step in, or is that something where the industry was being proactive on?
That was something proactive from the industry, the desire to create these transport licenses. When we first implemented regulations for medical marijuana dispensaries, the state law required vertical integration where the same grower sold their product at their own store. And there was very limited opportunities to wholesale your product to other retail outlets. That has slowly changed under our new recreational marijuana laws, and there is a lot more wholesaling between cultivators to other retail outlets, to other dispensaries, as a market, you know, place to market their products. And so there's a lot more transporting the products around. You know, there's also the transport of, you know, raw cannabis to businesses that make concentrates, hash oils or other kinds of concentrates, or that are making infused products, edible products. And, you know, they use a lot of trim and other parts of the plant that aren't necessarily sold to the consumer for smoking. They use those to produce concentrates and infuse edible products, and all of that production requires quite a bit of transportation, of moving the product around and then moving the edible products to retail. And so that's something that the industry asked for. There's a niche that's being created for just companies that just want to be in the business of transporting the stuff, not necessarily growing it or producing edible products or other kinds of products with it. So it's just, it's another direction the industry is taking as consumers, you know, are choosing that they want to have a greater selection of all these kinds of products available.
Do you have any numbers or know any, I guess, anecdotal stories that have to do with the crime? And I'm going to ask, I guess, in two different ways. One is, are you seeing any sort of increase in any kind of, driving auto accidents or burglaries related to cannabis? Or do you have any numbers as far as people who are not getting arrested or anything crime-related, I guess, I'm kind of reaching out for here?
Sure. Well, two things. One, there has been a real effort to study crime rates in the vicinity of marijuana dispensaries. Neighborhoods have wanted to know, does locating this business in our neighborhood attract more crime? And by and large, you know, a couple of years into to legalization now, we have not seen any indication that locating a dispensary in a neighborhood will bring more crime to the neighborhood. You know, there's some anecdotal stories. There have been burglaries and break-ins into dispensaries. You know, these sort of things are going to happen. But there has been no, you know, causation where you can point to a spike in crime rates and say it's because of this dispensary here.
To listen to the full-length interview with Patrick Stedman, state senator from Colorado, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit cafecapitalism.com. That's cafecapitalism.com. My name is Jason Speeson. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
Well, Gandhi says an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
MBI Energy Services is hiring. If you're looking for a rewarding career with a top-notch company but haven't had a chance to get to know MBI, stop by the Sweet Crude Travel Center in Belfield, North Dakota on Tuesday, February 28th and meet MBI.
Fill up your cup and learn more about this premier oilfield services company in western North Dakota. MBI has openings for workover rig supervisor, operator, derrick hand, and floor hand, oil, water, and hot oil truck drivers, and water transfer technicians. Enjoy excellent pay, great benefits, and a variety of work schedules. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com or meet MBI at the Sweet Crude Travel Center on Tuesday, February 28th. If you have any coffee and capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
You know we do what we do so we can survive. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Tom Peckskamp. To find out more about Tom Peckskamp and his music, visit thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's singer-songwriter Tom Peckskamp. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.